I think I'm going to concur with Betsy's assessment of the week, and I'm not going to preach on suffering ever again. This has been a suffering kind of a week, apparently, in preparation for this message. So I'm thinking we're going to change this series to being filled with joy. Anybody have any trouble with that? I'm kidding, Bill. We're good. We're good. You're good. Okay. Okay. I thought he was worried about our slides. We're good. But we pick up this week with Paul during his second missionary journey. And in a minute, we're going to watch a portion like we did last week from Adam Hamilton's series, The Call, that we've been leaning on, where we traced a portion of the first missionary journey and glimpsed the ancient world where the gospel was lived and shared, and paralleling Paul's journey about calls that we have on our lives. Calls to choose Christ, calls to go, and even calls to suffer. Paul's journey that took him into new places, stepping out boldly and following where God needed him the most. The call was certainly not without challenge and suffering. As I was preparing this message, I was reminded of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, where he recounts his trials. He says this: 5 times I've received lashes 40-1. 3 times I've been beaten by rods. 1 I received a stoning. 3 I was shipwrecked, for a day and a night adrift at sea, on frequent journeys, in danger from rivers and bandits, danger from my own people, danger from the Gentiles, danger in the city, danger in the wilderness, danger at sea, danger from false brothers and sisters, toils and hardship, sleepless nights, hungry, thirsty, without food, cold and naked, and besides the other, he continues, I'm under daily pressure for the anxiety of my churches. Who is weak and I am not weak? Who is made to stumble and I am not indignant? If I boast, it'll show my weakness. Paul had plenty to lament, plenty to complain about, if you will, but here's instead the needs of others and offers them redemption, joy, and love. Let's take a look at the video clip.
Paul takes Silas with him on the second missionary journey, and they go from Syrian Antioch. They travel to Tarsus, to Derbe, Lystra, Iconium, Pisidian Antioch, and ultimately they're in Troas. In Troas, Paul has a vision of a man from Macedonia who cries out to him in a vision, come, Paul, we need you. Come help us. And in response to this, Paul determines to leave the world that he's known, a world that was safe to him, Asia Minor. And now he's going to travel to Europe, and he's going to take the gospel to Europe. He'll travel by ship with Silas to the port city of Neapolis. And from the port city of Neapolis, he'll travel inland about 10 miles to the town of Philippi. This was the Neapolis Gate, going into the city of Philippi. The Apostle Paul and Silas would have walked right through this gate as they were entering the town of Philippi to form the very first Christian church on European soil. Standing inside the theater at Philippi. This is, along with the city walls, the oldest building, oldest construction in this location. 4th century before Christ, in the 300s BC, this was built. And it was modified during the Christian era. It was modified by having more stones added to it, and then these openings where fences could be erected, the posts of fences could be erected to protect the people back here from the wild animals that would come up from under the stage and the people who would be fighting them, whether they be gladiators or sometimes Christians facing the wild animals in theaters just like this. Now, I want to end this session by asking this question. We're all going to face suffering and adversity at times. much of it undeserved in our lives, just like Paul and Silas. How do we respond in those times? And for many people, when they face adversity and pain, they turn away from God, or they curse God, or they lament, or they complain against God. But Paul and Silas, they praised God. Paul would later write a letter to the church at Philippi, and he would say to them, "Rejoice in all circumstances. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." He would write that letter from another prison cell. And this was Paul's spirit when it came to adversity. And this is the lesson, at least part of the lesson we learned from Paul and Silas in Philippi, as we learn how to face suffering as Christians, that we trust in God as our deliverer. We trust that God walks with us through the adversity. And when we turn to God and we praise God in all circumstances, we find our hearts lifted, we find strength, and we find God's amazing deliverance in ways that surprise us. I want to encourage you to give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's call on your life in Jesus Christ.
I don't know about you, but the call to give thanks in all circumstances is an uncomfortable place for me to be. It was uncomfortable for the early Christian martyrs. Folks, often women seeking God above all else, usually young folks who have turned away from what culture asked them to do and turned towards what Christ had called them to do. They remind us the question, are we seeking God above all else? It's suggested, I would suggest, that when you feel like your week can't possibly get any worse, that you do the counterintuitive thing of thanking God. When the job that has taken the very energy from you wants more, when your children find you at the end of your very last bit of any kind of patience, when talking with your loved one and your spouse requires more energy and focus than you've given in all the other places of this week. And when the world's troubles overwhelm you in a way that you can't quite articulate, but are sure if you turn on the news one more time, you might just lose it. Give thanks to God. Give thanks to God for another opportunity, Paul reminds us, another day, another chance to have this part of your life redeemed, saved from what it could have been. Paul's letter to the Romans seeks to make sense out of the suffering. It's one of the many times he's been in one of those jails, one of the many times he experienced that long list of trials and tribulations. He writes to the Romans to say, your suffering is not in vain. It's not just an exercise in conditioning you and helping you to tolerate a little bit more in life. It's about God right side upping that which has been upside down with world values and with world challenges. It's Paul speaking to the senators and the power elites of Rome and laying out, this is how God redeems our lives. Our suffering produces endurance. Our endurance produces character. Our character produces hope, and our hope does not disappoint because of God's love poured into our hearts. God redeems our suffering if we would allow God to do so. Before we go any farther, I need to also say and address one particular thing. It's common for us to say in our culture that when we struggle, God has sent a test for us. We might even begin to think it's a biblical idea. Some of us might pull out and say it's in the book of Job, or perhaps the trials of the early Christian, God's people in the Old Testament. And we ourselves might wonder, does God send tests and trials and sufferings? Let me clarify. Let me speak God's word here. God does not make us to suffer. God does not send tests and trials. The suffering of Job was the work of the adversary, we'd say Satan, in order to see from Satan's perspective what was going on in the life of Job, not God. God did not send the trials of the early Christians or tests to the people of the Old Testament. It's been common even in our day for religious leaders to stand up after a disaster and say this was because of this or because of that. This trial, this test, this group of people or that. Friends, this is not God's word either. God's word reminds us that the world is filled with brokenness and with pain. The world is filled to the brim with humanity. How good to be reading Paul as we remember humanity. You and I, who are afflicted with suffering, with brokenness, and the pain of humanity. God, who does not give us this pain, but exists in our world as a result of brokenness and sin. Individual sin and corporate sin, the unfolding of free will and human choice that leads us to trials, no doubt, but not God foisted suffering upon us. Instead, and in complete opposition, God who walks with us in the midst of the places we find ourselves in the deepest brokenness, where God did not have to. God who sent Jesus, God among us, to live with us and show us a different way of living, of dying, and of life eternal. Yesterday, I had the privilege of fulfilling one of my annual conference relationships. Just like laity serve in the local church on committees, clergy and laity sometimes serve at the district and conference level. I am on the district committee of ministry for our district. And once a year, we gather with licensed local pastors to support and to encourage them, to make sure they're kind of on the right path as they answer the call to ministry. And all morning, I heard of folks who are working and serving churches and suffering in the truest sense, doing good and vital ministry all over our area. They told the stories of feeding and clothing, of caring for children and caring for older adults. They talked about creative ways to address poverty and homelessness, immigration challenges and injustice. And they said, oh, by the way, sometimes it's hard because I also work a full-time job. And sometimes it's hard because my spouse is ill. And oh, sometimes it's hard because of all the things that go on in my life. Leaders, lay and pastor, who work multiple jobs to make ends meet so they have the joy of sharing the gospel of Christ. Leaders who have been treated well and poorly by those they are serving. Leaders who want to just host Bible studies and serve in worship. Leaders who suffer right alongside their people in the best and the worst areas around us. Leaders who remind us of the way that is walking with in the midst of suffering. Don't know if you can read this, I'll help you out. Mother Teresa, you might recognize her, says, without suffering, our work would just be social work, very good and helpful, but it would not be the work of Jesus Christ, not part of redemption. All of the desolation of the poor people, not only material poverty, but spiritual destitution, must be redeemed. And we must share in it, for only by being with them can we redeem them by bringing God into their lives and bringing them to God. You and I, we not only lean on the pattern that Paul has given us, we also turn to Jesus himself. We read the passage this morning from Mark. Did it feel out of place to be reading Good Friday in the midst of January? The sufferings of Jesus when you're not expecting to hear them? I chose to include it this week because it belongs in every one of our conversations about our sufferings. Every time we think that we are going it alone, we remember that Jesus has already been there. Every time we imagine we couldn't take another step, we remember that Jesus walks alongside us. Every time we imagine, how am I going to make it another moment, another hour, another day? We remember that Jesus walked the human walk and knew the human talk. Jesus, who knew suffering and death so that we might know life and life abundant. For each of us who suffer, God in Jesus walks with us. For those of us who endure chronic pain, for those of us who face discrimination, for those of us who know injustice, for those who have acute and startling pain, for those who have loss and grief or depression and anxiety, the call to suffer is not a call to stop taking your medication, is not a call to stop using the support of who God has put in your lives. Our call to suffer this day is a framework to remind us that the way we respond to the sufferings in our lives matter and show others who God is. Each time we experience suffering in our own lives, each time we watch suffering in the lives of others, we are called to turn that suffering to God for redemption. We are called to walk together in the midst of pain and suffering, offering solidarity and fellowship. We are called to offer it up to God and offer, how is it that you would use, O God, even my suffering for your glory? In the same way that God used Paul's long list in order to alleviate the suffering of others, let us also share our sufferings with others and seek God in the midst of all that we experience. For God is about to do a new thing, to redeem us and God's world. New heaven, new earth. This, my friends, is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen.